The first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackedSidewalks.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome into Scrambled Eggs. It's your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on CrackSidewalks.com. I'm Joe McCann, joined by Phil Bush. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing? Anything new in your life?
This and that. Not a whole lot. Anything you want to talk about?
I thought maybe we would talk about us being in the freaking Sweet 16!
We're in the Sweet 16! Sweet 16, we're back. Marquette is back in the Sweet 16. Oh, wow. And the game was over. The game was over like 10 hours before I recorded this podcast, and my heart is still pounding after that. What a thrilling game. I even though you guys are all probably listening to this maybe 24 hours after the game ended, I'm sure many of you are still buzzing after what happened on Sunday. Wow, it feels good. For the first time we started doing this freaking podcast, Phil.
Right, the podcast is back in the Sweet 16. Curse is lifted. We're no longer the cause of Marquette not getting to the Sweet 16.
Not going to lie, I kind of thought there was a podcast curse for a while.
Yeah.
Kind of did.
I certainly would have assumed there was had they lost today.
Yeah. We might have had to hang it up, but I guess we're going to keep doing a few more. Maybe for, say, four more games.
I would be entirely fine with four more games of podcasting.
So, as you all are, I'm sure, very, very well aware, your Marquette Golden Eagles are back in the Sweet 16. There are only 16 teams left in the country that can win the national title. Marquette is one of them. They defeated Colorado 81-77 on Sunday in Indianapolis. They are marching on to Dallas, where they will meet NC State. We're going to talk about that. Yeah, Phil, I know watch parties and fans all across the country were just buzzing after that game. I mean, social media was just on fire all afternoon.
I had a tweet that received 127 likes. I don't think I've ever had that happen.
Yeah, not silly stuff. It's just getting hundreds of likes, which is a lot for me. Yeah, there's just so much to break down from that game because I think everybody had a hand in it one way or the other. Colorado was the test that I think we all expected it would be. Buffaloes are good. And we even said that on the quick little pod we did on Friday, Phil, how good that Colorado team was. And they gave Marquette all they could handle, but just I think the poise, the willingness to do more than they did a year ago really showed in the final minutes of that game. And there are just so many things to break down that I loved about that 81-77 win. Where do you want to start on it?
Well, I think the thing to start is this feels like it's kind of a culmination. And I tweeted a little bit about it before the game, where it feels like everything it's a brief 3 years of Shaka, right? In the Shaka era at Marquette has been building to this moment where a gutty test, a no coming back from opportunity, right? Like you lose your done opportunity, you get your back pressed against the wall. Will this team have the mental fortitude to stand up, stick through it, and get the job done? And, you know, and I know there's things we'll talk about that weren't super positive that went on in the game and stuff like that. But like in the last 3 minutes of that game, every possible thing this team could do to step up and answer that bell and have the mental strength to get it done, they did it. Like, so the pain of last season serves to give us this season. So it's kind of one of those, you know, everything was worth it because it led us to this.
In an intense game like that, Shaka kept a really short bench, mm-hmm. only played seven guys. Ben Gold barely played. He only played 8 minutes. I mean, for the most part, it was the starters and Chase Ross and Cam Jones split some time because Cam Jones had foul trouble. Whether it was Tyler Kolick hitting that big shot in the lane to extend the lead to three, David Joplin's free throws, woo! clutch. I would love to know exactly what he said. I think I've played that clip back 10 times.
Yes.
I can't quite read his lips. But it was definitely something to the effect of, I got this, or it's me, or something like that. But just a confident moment. Like, it's far from the end of David Joplin's journey as a Marquette player or as a basketball player, period. Far from the end. But it feels like a real high point so far. Like a milestone moment for David right. Joplin in that game, hitting those two free throws that all but iced the game and put Marquette into the next round.
Well, and you know, I think I'm hesitant to start with the David Joplin praise just because I know people are probably sick of me being such a David Joplin fan and all that stuff. And
oh, they're not.
and like the stat line wasn't like stunning, but this game from David Joplin was the culmination. Again, I keep coming back to this. Like, it kind of feels like this is the breakthrough game, right? Like, if we can just get to the Sweet 16, we can get it the rest of the way. The hard part feels like it's getting to the Sweet 16. And I think David Joplin represents that. I mean, look at what he did in key moments. He got he snagged a rebound over Lampkins, who's got 3 inches on him and probably 50 pounds. You know, snagged a defensive rebound, made buckets, not only hit the front end of a 1-on-1 when it mattered, hit them both, got steals. I mean, he went. 3-6 from 2, 2-6 from 3, 2-2 from the line, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks, 2 steals. Right, that doesn't jump out as like, oh my God, what an earth-shattering stat line. But the fact that he kind of represents in every one of the stats, I think is kind of what his game was and what his game has evolved into. Right, he's not just a scorer per se. Yep. He's a guy that can go out and guard, you know, some of these players that are NBA prospects on the Colorado Buffaloes. He may not be the best defender, but you know what? He's going to get you a rebound when you need it. He's going to make a shot when you need him to. He's going to be the energy guy that everyone's rallying around. Like, I wouldn't say it was David Joplin's game. This is not like his game, but boy, did he put a bit of a stamp on this game.
Yeah, he made an impact. He's a player now. He's not just a role player or a guy who comes off the bench and shoots. I mean, he is a key cog in the machine, right? He is just an important part of it, as are so many other guys who stepped up on Sunday. I think we could say something about everybody. Let's start with the obvious, though, Tyler Kolek.
Yeah.
21, 11, and 5. He is all the way back. Played 40 minutes. Didn't sit on the bench. 10 of 14 from the field. Just a clinic from Tyler Kolek, really. He just the perfect floor leader that you need to go deep in this tournament. He was exactly that. He had the 6 turnovers, but he had the 11 assists. So you kind of get over that and the 21 points.
And I'd argue some of those 6 turnovers, not to cast aspersions at the team, but like 2 or 3 of those probably weren't his fault.
Yeah, like there were some awesome passes that just hit guys right in the hands.
Right.
It goes back to kind of what we said Friday, Phil. The plan all along was the right plan with regards to Tyler's health. Of let's not have Tyler grind through at 90%. Let's get him to 100 and play this tournament with him at 100. Because if we had Tyler at 90% on Sunday, I'm not sure Marquette wins, honestly.
Right.
But they got everything they needed out of him, and needed all of it.
Holy crap. Like, when was the last, like, 10 of 13 from 2, right? Like, that is just nuts to me. And it's worth noting, they flashed it up during the game, and I caught it. Tyler Kolek, first player to go back-to-back, double-digit points, double-digit assists, and 5 or more rebounds in back-to-back games since Jason Kidd and Cal in 1993. Like, that blows my mind. Think of all the players in the last 21 years that have played in the NCAA tournament. And Tyler Kolek is the first person to do that in 21 years.
Yeah, all the really good, versatile guards that have come through since then. And Yeah, to when you're mentioned in the same breath as Jason Kidd as a point guard, you're doing something right, because Jason Kidd was an all-timer. I know Bucks fans may have jokes about him as a coach, but as a player,
right,
he was as good as it got out there.
Absolutely.
And Tyler, yeah, and Tyler's locked in, man. And again, the plan all along was to get here and to get Tyler at 100%, and they absolutely just that poise, especially on that last shot, like that last shot that he hit where Marquette was only up one. They needed a bucket. They could not have wasted that possession. And he just dribbled and dribbled until he got space, and he found just enough, and he dropped it in. And, you know, I think something that we highlighted on Friday, Phil, was that Colorado does not block a ton of shots,
right?
Especially Lampkin. And so they knew they could go at him, even though he's a big dude. They probably felt confident that they wouldn't get shots blocked. So they had a lot of good two-point buckets in that game, especially Tyler.
Yeah, well, and it was interesting because, you know, first of all, Kevin Harlan on the call was great. Like Tyler's
he's one of my favorite.
Yeah, you know, when it was he's around and down. But like, you know, it was a little bit shades of Sean Jones in the Maui Invitational, right? Where, you know, just dribbling circles around the defender under the hoop until he gets a free moment and shoots it. But you know, yep. What was crazy to me was Lampkin played 31 minutes in that game. I would have swore he played 20 minutes. They just had to go, you know, for the most part, you know, Colorado had to end up going to a very small lineup because Lampkin was just not playable in stretches of that game. And that's Marquette doing what they're doing. Now, when they adjusted and went to a smaller lineup, Colorado made a run, and boy, did I get, with 18 minutes to go in that second half, did I have some wind taken out of my sails?
Yeah. That, you know, the nerves ratcheted up a bit there and when that 11-point lead disappeared. And yeah, you know, we knew Colorado was good. You know, they could make shots, and the big fear was Simpson getting loose from three, and he hit a few. That game got tight, and they even took the lead. Yeah, that's when I had to. I couldn't sit anymore at my watch party. I had to.
I don't know how you were sitting at all. I didn't sit for a full 3 hours. I took the dog for like an hour and a half worth of walk. Yeah. There was a pre-game walk. There was a post-game walk. There was a lot going on.
Yeah, I was pretty good for the first half, and then things got tight in the second half, and. Yeah, well, for the last, I think maybe after the last TV timeout, I was like, man, I can't sit. This is killing me.
Yeah. Well, the thing that was crazy to me is like, and maybe this reveals that like maybe I'm a psychopath or something like that. Like in my brain, I knew, like I guess if I had true serum in me, I knew in my intelligent brain that we would win. Right, like I'm like, there's just so many things going for Marquette. Yes, Colorado is a, Colorado is a tough opponent. It's not going to be a cakewalk, but I knew Marquette was going to win. But in the like, I've been burned too many times. I've seen this story. We haven't been in the Sweet 16 in over a decade. Like that part kind of took over in my head, and I was like, it was. I think I even tweeted about it, like. The optimistic Phil was always there. I was always confident we could win that game. But boy, did the everything that can go wrong will go wrong part of my brain show up at moments in that second half. And I don't know if you were the same way, but it was something.
Similar thoughts from me from really almost the jump, you know, maybe around the first TV timeout. You know, I like, all right, Marquette is better and they're playing better and they should win this game. And even when Colorado had the lead in the second half, I said, look, Marquette is better. And by the time we get to all zeros, they should have more points and they should win. But I also go back to that dark space of crazy things happen in this tournament all the time. Good teams lose to lesser teams regularly. It's happened several times already in this tournament. And I was just starting to think of what is the narrative going to be if Marquette does not pull this game out. Like what are people going to be saying about Marquette, about Shaka about this core of players if they let that 11-point lead slip away. And CBS just only added to my anxiety there in the closing minutes when they put up that stat that Marquette is 14-0 all time and leading by double digits at the half in the NCAA tournament.
Right.
I'm just like, don't tell me that now. Like
it's the ultimate, like, it's the digital version of the announcer's jinx, right?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, well, he's perfect as a, you know, he's perfect from the free throw line this year. Clank.
Right.
It's like he put something like that. It's like, I didn't need to see that. But I was kind of like in denial when they put that up. It's like, it's going to be 15 right now. Like, we're pulling this out. They are going to do this. And they did.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, so we talked about Tyler a little bit. We talked about David Joplin. The other one I definitely want to talk about is Cam Jones because – one, you know, crazy, crazy good, right? Like that was a classic Cam Jones game, but also anxiety inducing because of all the fouls. But also the biggest disappointment in the game was Cam Jones was one-on-one with Lampkin at least twice. And I was like, how are you not cooking this guy? Like it was like the one or two times when I wished Marquette played ISO ball because it should have just been, all right, everybody back away. Cam's got this. But
barbecue chicken.
Yeah, but Cam was stepped up when we needed him. He played decent defense. He got four rebounds. Yeah, he was getting into foul trouble, which limited his availability. But the minutes he did play were rock solid.
Yeah, great minutes. They just didn't get enough minutes because of the fouls. It was. Yeah, you may say, well, he's, you know, been in the 20s pretty regularly here, but yeah, it's the fouls are the only reason he wasn't in the 20s again. On Sunday, shot the ball well, 4 of 10 from three. That's 40%. Take that all the time. He got in the lane. He got his layups. You know, his English off the glass is still like one of my favorite things about his game. The way he can spin that ball when he's got a man on his back, just terrific. And the Cam Jones revenge tour, ever since being left off the All Big East teams. I hope he stays mad. I hope somebody else talks trash about him this week.
Like North Carolina, I need the North Carolina State coach to be like, to do the Shaq meme. I was not familiar with his game.
Yeah. Maybe just somebody tell, like, you know, somebody say Cam Jones is just a role player and just really doesn't bring much to the table. Something of that nature.
Right.
Maybe just get him a little more fired up. Get him a little more ticked off. Because, boy, he has been lighting people up these past few weeks. He's locked in. You know who else is locked in on Sunday? And that was Chase Rice.
Oh, thank God you went there because I was excited to talk about Chase. This might be the Chase game. Would you say this is the best Chase Ross game in his Marquette career to date?
Maybe I'm forgetting one, but considering the stakes, yeah.
Right. When and the purpose, like, matters. And, yeah, he had 12 points, which, you know, is – it's not bad. It's not like it's a pedestrian effort, but holy cow, just it was a return. Like, I don't feel like we have seen this much of an athletic Chase Ross in like a month. And it was as if someone took like the bubble wrap off him and he was like, well, we're doing this now.
Yep. 12 points, 5 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 2 from three, 5 rebounds. Including a big one late. I think Chase actually got the board after Colorado missed the, not the last three at the buzzer, but the three before that.
Correct. The wide open three.
But that led to the foul parade, which was tough for Colorado. You know, when they only got 3 fouls and they had to foul 4 more times. I'm glad that didn't happen to Marquette, but I think there should be a situation where, like, if you're the trailing team and you want to say, yes, we want to send them to the free throw line, you should have that option. But whatever.
I like the way it worked out in terms of, like, that was – Marquette was running plays, man. They were moving the ball around. They killed, what, 16 seconds off the clock before David Joplin walked up with the big giant huevos?
So, that worked certainly in Marquette's favor. But, you know, back to Chase. I think it's telling how much the team trusts him, that when they were up – I guess it was a tie game. Late, and I think it was after that one of those last timeouts, and they had the play for him, and Chase took that three and nailed it.
Yeah,
and gave them that late lead that they never relinquished, and it's just Shaka having faith in his guys, Tyler having faith in Chase to take that shot, and Chase having the confidence to just knock it down. God, what a massive shot that was late in the game to give Marquette the lead. I think that made it
77-74. Yep.
Yeah, that's the shot I'm thinking of.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was just under 3 minutes to play, and Colorado never tied the game again after that.
Yeah, well, Chase Ross, again, barring Cam Jones being in foul trouble, would Chase Ross get 26 minutes? Probably not, right? Cam's probably getting 30, 32 minutes, so Chase is maybe 18, 19 minutes. But, he stepped up and gave meaningful minutes, and we'll talk, Stevie Mitchell didn't have his best game, but Chase Ross came in and was like, hey, look, I'll play both ends of the court. I will say it was cathartic when he split the defenders and Chase Ross dunking in the open court is sublime, right? Like it makes it look so easy, and yet it is with such violence. It breaks my brain watching him dunk. And that was my first exorbitant whoop was when he split the defenders in the first half and got that that wide open dunk. It was glorious.
Yeah, just an important important moment for a guy who comes off the bench. That's how valuable Chase is. Like when Marquette had a little bit of a rough patch earlier in the year, part of it was Chase wasn't coming off the bench. They were without him for a little bit, and that hurt the team. But when you have a guy like that who can come off the bench and just contribute like that, it's not unlike back in 2003 when a freshman named Steve Novak hit 4 3-pointers off the bench in a big overtime win over Missouri. It's like, yeah, was he the star on that team? No, but he had a role, and he played it to perfection that game, and they needed all of those threes in that game to pull out that game against Missouri. And they needed Chase on Sunday. They needed all 12 of those points and all those rebounds to outlast Colorado. So, yeah, everyone played their role, contributed a little bit. Yeah, Ben Gold didn't play a lot, but he had a big three in that game.
Yep.
That was, he only played 8 minutes, but he got one three up, and it was a big one. And then you mentioned Stevie, yeah, not his best offensive game, but he had the task of more often than not guarding Simpson on the other end.
Right.
And so, offensively, yeah, Stevie's had better games, but he didn't take many shots either. He's only 1 of 3. So they didn't need much from him offensively, but I think it's not going to show up in the box score. Because Simpson still, you're not going to bottle him up completely. He had 20 points, but he also did not light Marquette up for 30 either. And I think that's a credit a little bit to Stevie Mitchell just being in his jersey all night, all morning, actually, as it was. But he did a great job. Yeah, there was nothing that you could do to shut him down and get a zero from KJ Simpson. He was going to get something, but Stevie had his role to play on Sunday as well. I thought he did it just fine.
I think a little cheers here.
cheers.
But I think. Stevie's game doesn't always show up on the stat line, right? The game Friday, obviously he showed up, I think, what was it, 13 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, something like that. So clearly that shows up. But, yeah, he's playing with maximum effort. He's chasing things around. It wasn't like he was fumbling the ball away or turning over a bunch. He couldn't find his moment in what that team was doing. And Colorado is a taller team, so I think that impacts Stevie a little bit. But, he still played 30 minutes. He was still an invaluable member of the team. And, it's not like you're going to get 8 players all contributing massive amounts on the offensive end. As long as we have 3 or 4 guys, right? And we had Tyler, David, Cam, and Chase. So it's not like we needed Stevie or Oso to be, huge on the offensive end. They just needed to do their jobs. And they did their jobs at least enough for Marquette to win the game. And that's all that I care about, because this feels like a huge weight off the shoulders.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about every player except Oso, so let's give a little love to Oso. He had 10 points. Tough night on the day on the boards for Oso. He only had 1, but when you've got beef in the middle like Colorado does, maybe that's going to limit your rebounding opportunities. But Yeah, I think Oso had a rougher game in the first game, so I think maybe a step forward on Sunday. But to your point, Phil, like, it's not like they needed 20 from Oso to win this game because they had other guys, and I think that's the important aspect of this. It is a team. They don't need – it's like, oh, well, if that guy's off, we got no hope.
Right.
But if everyone's playing their roles, then they figure it out. Maybe if their role changes as the game rolls along, they adjust. And Oso did what he needed to. Everybody did. All seven guys who played in that game had their role, and they played it well enough to get the win. That's really all that mattered.
Right. Yeah, and we got the win, right? Like, that's the thing I keep coming back to is no matter who or how or what, I mean, everybody contributed in some significant capacity to that, you know, that result. And whatever their contribution is, it all mattered to get the result that we absolutely had to have. If, you know, I don't want to, like, oversell this, but if you think about it, if Marquette doesn't win this game and Tyler and Oso ride off into the sunset, yes, you know, Shaka's still here. Yes, there's talent there. Obviously, we talked about David Joplin. We talked about Chase Ross, etc. But what does that do when you have been building towards just mental strength this whole time and it fails you again and you don't get into – and, you know, Shaka then is on, you know, what is it? So the last time he was – the last time he was in the Sweet 16 was when he went to the Final Four in 2011, right? That's got to wear on somebody that, you know, if they don't get through, this is 13 years straight of not making it to the Sweet 16. Like, I'm not saying you can't come back from that, but holy crap, that feels like a really heavy boulder to carry.
Yeah, and that's something you've kind of like touched on as far as the relief, and what I really kind of want to dive into next is that sense of relief. And I think you heard it in Shaka's voice in the post-game interview with Andy Katz. If you, you like, on his second question, he asked about the emotion and waving to the crowd, and like Shaka was not on camera at that point because they were showing video of him waving to the crowd prior, but you could hear it. Like, Shaka got choked up for a second there.
Yeah, he wasn't like, the only one. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it got a little dusty, you know, because I couldn't hear it in the bar when I was watching at the watch party, so I came back to my house because I wanted to hear the interview with Shaka and Tyler, and it may have gotten a little dusty when Shaka got a little choked up there, but to your point, Phil, I think he felt a sense of relief of, man, finally, I'm back in Sweet 16, because, you know, coaches say they don't, and players, they don't listen to things or they shrug things off. They hear it. Shaka knows what that people love to point out, that he hasn't been to the been out of the first weekend other than his Final Four run. That it's been a long gap for Marquette too. They haven't been to the second weekend in 11 years. That Shaka hasn't been to the second weekend since 2011. He hears that stuff, and, and like, even if he doesn't hear it, he knows it,
right?
And he wants to get back. Like, you know, and I think there was just like a sense of, thank God we did this.
Right.
Right. And, like, you and I were talking before the podcast, and, like, it's a much smaller scale. I get it. But it's kind of like that similar feeling of back in 2004 when the Boston Red Sox, who were still had that quote unquote curse at the time, came back from down 3-0, beat the Yankees.
Yeah. And the Dave Roberts
with
steal.
The ALCS.
Shouts to Tim
felt
Blair.
Like, yeah. It felt like they had gotten over the hump, and there was no doubt that they were going to win the World Series after that. Like, they had gotten past a mental hurdle. Now, back to this team. Did they have a mental hurdle? I don't know if they did, but I think there's some sense of maybe also the similar thing maybe Purdue felt when they were playing that 16 seed. It's like, this can't happen again,
right?
And it's not going to happen again. We just have to go out and play and prove that it's not going to happen again. And Marquette knew they lost in this exact spot a year ago. Two seed, playing the winner of a 7-10 game, a good team, but a team they're favored against. We can't let this happen again. And they did. And I think there was relief from Shaka, and I thought, I think it's relief from all the players. Like, all right, that's past us. Clean slate.
Right.
We're in a 16-team tournament now. I think there's a sense of, all right, demons are gone. Let's go win some games. Let's see how far we can go with this thing.
Well, we literally, I agree completely, and we literally don't have a history here with any of the players or Shaka, right? Right. There is no narrative that's like, yeah, they make the Sweet 16, but they always choke in that first Sweet 16 game. Mm-hmm. None of that narrative exists. We haven't been here. We kind of saw a challenge. We made it a little more challenging than we probably ought right to have made it. But then they overcame it. They saw it through. They didn't have happen what happened to them last season. The Tyler injury happened sooner, right? Like whether you believe in fate or destiny or whatever, all of the things kind of aligned to give Marquette the opportunity to get to the Sweet 16. And you know what? They took that opportunity and they got there. And now, like you said, we're in a 16-team tournament. We have four games to try and get the national title. And, you know, yes, these are going to be really tough games coming up. The pressure is only going to ratchet up. But Marquette doesn't have a history here. They can play their game.
I was thinking maybe Shock is going to start doing the thing that Jay Wright did for a long time of never losing the second weekend. Like, he was always either out in the first round or he went to the Final Four. Like, that was like Jay Wright's. I think he may have actually lost in the second weekend towards the end of his career. But there was a long stretch there for Jay Wright that is like either he loses first weekend, but if he gets out of the first weekend, he goes all the way to the Final Four. Maybe Shock is going to start doing that.
Yeah. Like, it's Final Four or nothing for him. Yeah, I love it. It's great.
Yeah. So let's do Final Four this year. But, yeah, and I think something also we said, like, off-air after we finished the podcast last week and thought, that might have been a good thing to bring up on this podcast. And maybe we were just kind of hesitant to say it and jinxing things and all that. But the truth of the matter is this, Phil. If you want to get to the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, what more would you have wanted seed-wise than having nothing but double-digit seeds from your first game to your third game?
Yeah.
Like, what else do you want?
Right.
This is exactly the opportunity you want. Like, yeah, I mean, sorry Kentucky got upset, but that's not Marquette's fault. They can only play the teams in front of them. Right. So they are going to be meeting an 11 seed in Dallas. So just play the teams in front of you. And if you had your choice, would you rather play a 3 or an 11?
No.
Well, of course you'd rather play an 11.
Yes.
So, yeah, what more did you want? What more do you want than what they have right now? All double-digit seeds in each of their first three games. Their last one, the last one definitely won't be a single-digit, double-digit seed. But yeah, it's right in front of them. And like again, like kind of like you just said, Phil, this is a new era for these guys now. It's like this is uncharted territory for all those players. It's not uncharted for Shaka. He's been in this round before with VCU. But with these guys, it's like they now get that experience they've never had before of going to their first tournament site, coming home, and preparing for another tournament site.
Right. Yeah. And they get, you know, what is it? So they came back tonight. They got back about 7 p.m. and then they're going to travel out. What would you say? They're going to travel out Wednesday probably?
That would seem to make sense to me. Yeah, I don't think you would do it the day before. I think there'd probably be media day and open practice and those things on Thursday. So, yeah, I would assume maybe a Wednesday morning flight.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
Yeah, fly down Wednesday evening, get the lay of the land, do all that stuff. So they get some days back in their own beds, kind of rest, relax, reset their brains, and then go back out. And, you know, at this point, when we're recording this, you've got Duke, Texas Tech, Texas A&M, Houston, Duke, and North Carolina State are all quote-unquote potential Marquette opponents, right?
Right.
We know North Carolina State's next, but you know, not. I don't want to pivot quite yet to North Carolina State, but I'm using this as a point. North Carolina State has no experience in the Sweet 16, right? None of their players have been there before. Texas A&M hasn't been there before, right? They haven't been to the Elite Eight. Duke, I mean, even as a storied franchise, if you will. I don't know that there's anyone on that roster other than their coach, John Shire, and only he did it as a player. Well, and he did it as an assistant. But none of Duke's players have been in a Sweet 16 before.
No, they got to the – well, I'm trying to think. So maybe some of their older players. Yeah, Jeremy Roach went to the Final Four 2 years ago.
All right. Well, now you're just crapping on my point, but you're right.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Some of the Duke guys, but to your point, most of their Duke's best players are freshmen.
Right.
A lot of their, some of the best, so they haven't been. But yeah, last year Duke went out as a five seed. So they went out in the second round last year. So Filipowski has not been to this round before. So he's one of their best players. McCain went crazy in that game on Sunday. So he's one of their best players. He's a freshman. He has not been there. But yeah, there are a couple guys. So their older guys were on their Final Four team, Coach K's last year, when they lost to but yeah, sorry to ruin your point there, but no, are some Duke guys who've been this
year. And Houston lost in the Sweet 16 last year. The year before that, they lost in the Elite Eight, right? So from a roster standpoint, those are teams with narratives that Marquette doesn't have, right? So I guess the point is, yes, there are, you know, there are other quality teams. You know, Marquette, you can argue Marquette beat a 12 seed and they beat a 15 seed. Big whoop. Hey, look what UConn did last year, first of all. Second of all, you know, Marquette from a quality standpoint is on or near the same level as anyone left, and no one left has enough experience to be like, oh, these are clearly two different teams, and they don't have that Marquette is just not going to be able to keep up, right? So like you have said many times in the past, why not us? Like that's kind of where I am. Why not us? Why can't we make a Final Four now that we're in the Sweet 16?
Why can't they win the national title?
Right.
I mean, they're great teams in here, but this team at its best can beat absolutely anybody. That includes Purdue, who they were within 3 points of in Hawaii. I think that includes Houston, if Houston gets there. Connecticut, yeah, they've stomped Marquette 3 times, but 2 of those were without Tyler, and the 3rd was at their place. I think a fully healthy Marquette team on a neutral floor might have a little something for Connecticut if it comes down to that, but that would have to be in the championship. But yeah, like there's no team in this tournament that I say, well, if they meet them, that's when it's going to end.
Right.
No, not at all.
And we just need positivity. But I will say one really quick story, before we go to North Carolina State. So we were watching the game over at the friend's house, at a friend's house, and no red from Owen, you know, the son character in the podcast. He's fine. He was like, I don't know if it was nerves or what, but he was like, my stomach kind of hurts throughout the day or throughout the game. So he was kind of just laying on the couch watching, whatever. But he's a big fan of the Buffalo Wild Wings box out commercial. Have you seen this commercial? It's on all the time.
Yes, I've seen it at least 500 times today.
Correct. It's way better than the what a pro needs with Chet Holmgren. Like, if I'm Chet Holmgren, I'm firing my agent, because who let him do that?
Yeah, we could power rank the commercials another time, but I think Don't Let Me Go is also starting to wear on my nerves.
Yes.
Yeah. Single for a Buck is, I could take it in spurts, but that one I've seen enough too. But yeah, Chet Holmgren I've heard enough of at this point. The one that I still kind of think kind of slaps is the ludicrous one, the Nissan commercial.
Yeah, I like that.
You don't know me like that. Yeah, that one I don't mind. But yeah. Yeah. But
so, anyway, so anyway, he loves the box out one. And like, so it was right before the commercial break before the Chase Ross 3. You know, so again, he's just kind of chilling on the couch or whatever. And that commercial, or no, I take it back. What ended up happening was Chase Ross hit the 3, and then I believe Colorado had free throws. And I started yelling BFO. And he's like, what does that mean? And I was like, I can't tell you. And he's like, why can't you tell me? And I'm like, well, because, you know, words. And he's like, well, just tell me. And I was like, well, with a word missing, it means box out. And the little dude jumped off the couch and started like sticking his butt around like he was boxing people out, just screaming, box out, box out. And it was... It was tremendous, and sure enough, we got some box outs. So, you know, some rebounds were activated because Owen decided to, you know, box out.
Very good. I like it.
Yeah, it was super fun.
From Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yes, Buffalo Very Wild good. Wings for the win. But anyway, loved the game, happy with the result. Let's talk about Dallas.
Yes. The Marquette Golden Eagles are coming to Dallas, Texas.
If only we knew.
Warms my heart.
If we only knew someone in Dallas.
Yeah, I'm very excited, as are the North Texas alumni who I watched the game with on Sunday. At least like 5 or 6 people, if you include Facebook messages, like probably a dozen have asked about tickets. I'm like, what am I, Ticketmaster? Like,
there's only so many things. You have me confused with the Amazing Joe. I can't do everything.
I don't have tickets other than the ones I bought myself.
Right.
But anyway, yeah. There's already quite a buzz as far as both the Dallas alumni and people who are planning to come to Dallas to check out your Golden Eagles. And yeah, they'll be playing NC State, as we've mentioned a couple times already. They're the 11 seed in this region. They knocked off Texas Tech, and then they ended the Cinderella run for Oakland. Shouts to you, Greg Campy. Thank you for taking Kentucky out of this tournament.
Mm.
But yeah, NC State, like, they don't pose quite the same challenge as Colorado, and anything can happen in this tournament, Phil, but I'll be damned if I am not pretty confident about what Marquette can do against NC State. How do you feel about that?
God. So this is this dilemma, right, where we say, hey, as fans, we can be overconfident and look past, right? But as players, I guarantee you, no one on this roster is like, we got this, fam. We're good, right? We'll just roll the ball out and we'll win, right? Like, this you're going to prepare, you're going to take it seriously, you're going to take the North Carolina State University seriously. Having said that, I don't know what I would act like. Not that they're like a joke, but also, what is it that we're scared of, right? Like, they don't turn the ball over. Like, they're very good at protecting the ball, which,
yeah,
okay, so we're not going to get out into that transition stuff if we're not turning teams over. But other than that, there's nothing on the stat sheet that stands out to me, like, at all.
Yeah, they're on KenPom, they're number 42 overall on offense, number 75 on defense. So that tells me that Marquette should be able to score points in this game against the Wolfpack. You know, NC State, back on March 9th, when the regular season ended, they were probably starting to wonder if it's time to move on from Kevin Keats. They had lost 7 of their last 9 games.
Right.
And then all of us, and they were on the ropes against Louisville in a little bit in the first game of that ACC tournament before they came back and won it. But then he goes out and wins the ACC tournament, which gets a triggered a clause in his contract to get 2 more years. And I think I saw on Twitter on Sunday that by making the Sweet 16, he gets another year.
Holy
so
crap.
He's gone from – I don't know if that's true, but maybe that was a joke. But he's gone from probably the hot seat to having 2 or 3 extra years on his contract. And yeah, NC State, look, give them credit. They've just been inexplicably hot
right.
compared to what they were throughout the regular season, really. And you just hope that maybe a week off cools them down a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, DJ Burns is kind of like a fan favorite because everybody loves the fat guy who can ball, right?
Right. Tell me about it. Tell me about it, the adoring fans I have.
Hey, we had Devontae Gardner back in the day. We loved our big dancing bear.
Yeah, that's true.
He was a joy to watch. But, yeah, the guy who looks like he should probably be playing football, who's playing basketball – kind of like Lampkin, honestly.
Yeah.
Fans just love guys who look like that, who play basketball. And Burns has been really hot. And he's going to be a load in there for Oso. But I also think Oso can cook him in the open floor too.
Right.
I think they will have maybe a similar plan of attack that they did with Lampkin when it comes to Burns. Maybe a little bit of a different player, but maybe not extraordinarily so. you know, DJ Horn's a good player. I mean, he can shoot the three. If he gets hot, he could cause problems for you. But yeah, I think to your point, Phil, as far as like when you're looking at their KenPom numbers, there's nothing that like it's not that they have bad KenPom numbers. It's not like there's a bunch of red on here like when you're playing DePaul. But there's nothing on there where you look at like, holy crap, they're really good at blank. You said like the one thing that jumps out is their turnover percentage on offense is very low. So they do protect the ball. So Marquette's pressure may not get to them nearly as well as it got to Colorado and Western Kentucky. But yeah, like you don't like they don't jump off the page as far as, oh wow, they're a great 3-point shooting team, or they're great 2-point percentage, or they have amazing defense. Yeah, I mean they're fine. They're a decent team, but the bottom line is they're an 11 seed. They're a team they barely got in this tournament. Because the only reason they're in is because they won the ACC. They would not have been in if they had not won the ACC tournament. So I think we're all just kind of looking at it as, yeah, is it a lock? Of course not. That's ridiculous. We've known enough about this tournament to not think things like that. But Marquette is a 6-point favorite in this game, according to KenPom, as opposed to they were a 2-point favorite against Colorado, which played out pretty close, honestly. I think the predicted final score was like 76-74, and ended up being 81-77. So KenPom, pretty spot on that one. But yeah, KenPom has this one 78-72 in Marquette's favor. But I keep going back to Phil. If Marquette plays its game, they play their best game, they should win this game. They should be on to the Elite Eight.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I keep thinking about, like not to focus on DJ Burns too much, but, you know, he probably gets the most attention for NC State, and they don't have much depth behind him. But like, can you imagine a pick and roll with Oso and Tyler, or Oso and Cam, where DJ Burns has to go with the ball handler, you know, and you know, NC State, yes, they're a quote unquote better shot blocking team than Colorado, but Colorado was an abysmal shot blocking team, you know. They, you know, something like 9.6% of the time they block a shot. They're 157th per KenPom in shot blocking on defense. So, you know, it's a more of a consideration than Colorado against Colorado. But, you know, Tyler turning the corner, Cam turning the corner, you know, is DJ Burns going to be able to go with them? Or are they going to, you know, have to go under screens, which Cam should cook them from three, right? Or David Joplin or whoever, right? How does NC State have the answers on defense to keep Marquette from scoring a whole bunch? And I don't see anything in the stats, the style, the approach that says they can stymie Marquette's offense. So Marquette should be able to score with them. And again, I don't, other than not turning the ball over, there's nothing NC State does on offense that is, you know, remarkable or should challenge, you know, Marquette's defense, right? And again, NC State's, it's not like we're going to win 67-0, right? We're you know.
That would be awesome, though. Like, just to, like, for one time, just have, like, a totally stress-free tournament game.
Oh,
that would be awesome.
Could you imagine? I'm
like, just to do what basically UConn does and blow out everybody by 50?
Yeah, that would be amazing. That must be the real life. Yes, the game is I think the game will be somewhat back and forth. I think it'll be challenging at times for Marquette. I'm not going to say it's a blowout. I'm not going to say it's a cakewalk. But this is a game, you know, with putting a huge caveat on, I don't want to jinx things, but this is a game Marquette should win. Like, there's nothing on paper that says, ooh, Marquette's got to watch out for this. Colorado definitely saw this. NC State, can you find something that gives you pause?
No, actually, and while you were speaking, I wanted to check to see if Paint Touches had done any research as far as NC State's pick and roll defense. And thankfully, my man Andre already came through for me.
No, God bless Paint Touches.
Yeah, they're actually a worse pick and roll defense than Colorado is.
Right. Right.
So, pick and roll all day.
Just nothing. Like, if Shaka is like, you know, we should run the, you know, some sort of four-man spread. Either somebody needs to be like, you know what? How about we just pick and roll again? Well, that's so boring. Just do it.
Yeah, as far as does anything give me pause? Yes, the tournament. The fact that this is the NCAA tournament, right, and stuff happens in it that is completely unexpected. That gives me pause. Looking at NC State's numbers, no. Like, again, I feel like we're talking about them like they're Georgetown or something.
Right.
Like, they're good. Okay. Like they made the tournament. They beat Duke, Virginia, and North Carolina in the ACC tournament on consecutive days, and they, you know, wrecked a Cinderella in Oakland in the previous round. They are a nice team. They have DJ Burns has been hot in the tournament, and the biggest thing is if Horn just gets loose and decides to fire up a bunch of threes and hits them all, right? Or goes 8 of 10, or starts shooting like Jared McCain did on Sunday for Duke, because the three pointer is a great equalizer.
And right,
if all of a sudden you've banging three after three after three, well, it's tough to keep up with that if you're not hitting all those threes yourself. So, just NC State, who shoots 34.7% as a team, which is middle of the road, which is fine. But yeah, it's Horn because he's a 40% three-point shooter. So a guy like that, and then they have Jaden Taylor, who's 36%. So they have two guys, and Michael O'Connell's 36%, but he doesn't shoot quite as many as those guys do. I mean, DJ Horn's attempted 239 threes this year.
My word.
That seems like a lot. How's that compare to Cam? Okay, so he's attempted more threes than Cam. Cam's attempted 222.
That feels criminal, right? Like, Cam should probably attempt more threes than that guy.
Yeah. The thing is, Cam did miss a few games, so maybe if Cam had played every game,
that's true.
He would have more three-point attempts. But so yeah, Horn shoots it as much from three as Cam does, and he shoots it just about as well. He's 40.6%. Cam is 41%. So similar quality of three-point shooter. So similarly, like if Cam got loose for us, and we would feel definitely Marquette's winning.
Right.
Marquette wins going away if Cam gets hot. DJ Horn gets hot from three, that would worry me a little bit. Who's the better team? It's Marquette.
Right.
Marquette plays their best game, offensively and defensively. They're going on to the Elite Eight.
Yep. That's the analysis, full stop, right? Like,
yeah. It is.
You know?
And it's an exciting time because it's a feeling we have not felt in a long, long time. Last time they were in the Sweet 16, of course, they just blitzed a really good Miami team.
Yep.
They were the underdog in that game. And went on to the Elite Eight, and then Syracuse's freaking zone defense just shut Marquette down, and that's where it ended. But, yeah, it's just this this buzz that's around this team right now, and being one of only 16 teams people are going to be talking about Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week of, okay, if we're resetting the brackets, who's your pick to win the national title? Who's your pick to get to the Final Four? Some people are going to start saying, well, we really overlooked Marquette. Because, you know, I'm certainly not mad about this. I actually like when the team is overlooked a little bit because they come out with a chip on their shoulder. But generally speaking, when you're looking at all the celebrity brackets, all the analyst brackets, not many had Marquette getting to the Final Four.
Right.
I don't recall very many at all. And I understand. I mean, Houston's awesome. I understand. Like, I'm not going to call you an idiot if you have Houston in the Final Four. And, you know, Houston is, at the moment we're recording this podcast, winning over Texas A&M, but they have not won yet. But, yeah, if you had Houston in the Final Four, I get it. Certainly understand that. They're great. But there's a lot of Kentucky. Anyone who wanted to go outside, like, against the grain and not pick Houston, very few picked Marquette, the 2 seed. Most picked Kentucky.
Right.
I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You know, like I didn't have Kentucky losing to Oakland or anything, but I had Kentucky losing to Marquette in my bracket.
Well, there's a path where there are three Big East teams in the Final Four.
Absolutely. That would be amazing if the Big East only got three in and they all got to the Final Four and their only losses are to each other.
Right.
That would be sweet. I don't think it necessarily changes too much as far as like the narrative of who should have got in, should have not gotten in. I still think Big East should have had more than three teams in, but this was something that was possible anyway. That, yeah, whether there were four teams or five teams in, that the Big East did have three legit Final Four contenders. And yeah, that's what we are going to have starting next weekend is Creighton, Connecticut, Marquette are all going to be two wins away from being in the Final Four. And I think that would be pretty awesome if they all three got there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think we'd have to confirm this, but I think I'm seeing that so Marquette would play NC State Friday in Dallas, and I believe it's 6:09 Central on Friday.
Oh, have they set game times already?
I think they're starting to. I'm seeing it in a chat that says.
I have not seen game times at the moment, but I would assume that there are some game times will be coming out. By the time you guys are listening to this podcast, you guys would probably... Oh, actually, yeah, it is on ESPN. So 6:09 p.m. on Friday, Central Time.
That's actually real nice for me because I'm going to be in San Diego, so West Coast time, and we have a bunch of family stuff during the day. I think it's fair to say I can be ready to go by 4:09 Pacific time.
So yeah, there you go.
I'm ready to roll. Ready to roll.
Well, so you're telling me there are no games during the day? Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah, it's Friday, so they want all the games at night. So, yeah, so Marquette at 6:09, and then whoever Duke's playing will be at 8:39.
That seems crazy late, but I will absolutely take it.
No complaints from me, man. No complaints from me. Okay, so there we go. We have a game time for Friday. Sweet. Good with that.
Boy.
So, yeah, does it conflict with your Good Friday mass schedule?
Go at lunch. You want go in the morning. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, go explore Dallas a little bit.
I think Jesus will understand.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you have time to do both.
Right.
You could go to Mass and then go explore Dallas a little bit. When Marquette was in Fort Worth a few years ago, I did a little things to see, places to check out around Dallas-Fort Worth area. I might do that again. I might put it up on Cracks. I don't have a list handy right now. I was just thinking much about the games.
I am absolutely going to shout out Revolution, Blood and Honey. Make that happen again, Revolution, please.
Revolver? It's Revolver, Blood and Honey.
Revolver, Blood and Honey. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
I got to give a shout out to my friends, Alex, who is a Marquette alum, and his wife, Megan, works at Revolver Brewing. Yeah, it was funny. 2 years ago, I did shout out Revolver. Blood and Honey is my favorite beer in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they cooked me up with some free beers. Please don't do that again, guys. You gave me way too much last time. But it is a good beer. So if you're in Dallas-Fort Worth area, the Revolver Brewery itself, though, is like way, way outside the city. It's like in south of Fort Worth, so it would take you a long time to get there. But they do have a tap room in Texas Live, which is by the Rangers ballpark. So in Arlington. So if you want to do that between games or between days on Saturday, you could check out, but again, any restaurant in the area that's worth its salt would have Revolver beer. And I would be remiss if I did not give a shout out to my friend Mike McGinn, who is a Marquette alum. He does some consulting with a brewery which is in McKinney, which is on a northern suburb of Dallas. So it would be outside the city. It would be a little bit of a drive, but not like a terrible drive. But Tupps Brewing is a very nice brewery. They just opened up a new facility. So again, that's if you're looking for something to do to get outside of the city, check out a brewery and support a Marquette alum. Tupps, that's T-U-P-P-S. So you got Tupps, got Revolver, and there are a lot of good breweries in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, especially the Dallas, just downtown area. I mean, you got Deep Ellum, you got Community. I'll put a list on cracksidewalks.com. I'll come up with some things and places to check out. The thing about Dallas, Phil, is like, it's not really a tourist
right.
city. You know, it's not like there's things where, oh, if you're going to Dallas, well, you got to see this. I mean,
well,
you have
I
to
mean,
see that.
JFK, like, where he got his head blown off, but other than that.
Yes, yes, yes. The Sixth Floor Museum is actually cool. I've taken you there.
Yes.
If you like history, I mean, it's they got a pretty cool museum about that day, back in 1963. That's something to check out. Reunion Tower, which is it's got a nice rotating, top to it. It's like this weird kind of like green looking building. But it's got like a rotating top, and it's got a restaurant and a bar up there. So if you want a nice fancy dinner, nice cool view of the city, go up Reunion Tower. That's pretty cool to check out. I'll think of some other things. But there's if you got kids, the Perot Museum of Natural History, kind of cool. I know families really like that. But yeah, there are things to do. It's just nothing that I would say is like a touristy, gotta see it. If you're there's I don't know if they would be doing tours of Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium down there in Arlington, but that's another thing. But
yeah. Well, and they have what, at least two Topgolfs?
We have three. Oh wait, hold on. We have four now?
Holy hell.
Yeah, we have Fort Worth, we got Colony, Dallas, and Allen. So yeah, we have four.
Okay.
So if you like Topgolf, there's that.
Yeah, there you go.
The thing is, if you just like golf, we got tons of golf courses here. They're all open.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess people are probably playing golf by now in Wisconsin. Is it nice enough for golf up there?
It is definitely not. But, we got 6 inches of
what?
Snow. We got six inches of snow the other day.
You poor bastards.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
We're in the middle of the third false spring.
I mean, if you're just itching to get around to golf in on Saturday, heck yeah, we got tons of awesome courses around here.
Yeah.
I think a really cool one that I have not actually gotten a chance to play yet, it's called Tour 18, and it's every hole is inspired by a real, like, hole on the PGA Tour, that, like, famous holes, like, around the United States. Like, the last three holes of Tour 18 are Amen Corner from the Augusta National.
Oh, wow.
So they're, like... I haven't played it, and not that I would know the difference anyway, because I'm a terrible golfer. But it's a pretty close inspiration to holes like that. And I forget what the other courses are, but if you're a big golf nut and you would say, "Oh wow, that's, you know, they've played U.S. Opens there, and I've seen Ryder Cups played there," and so yeah, if you're a big golf guy, I would recommend Tour 18 is cool. At Cowboys Golf Club, which is pricey, but it's an awesome experience. I have played there; it's a great course. But again, there are tons of courses. Tons all over Dallas-Fort Worth area. So if you're itching to get out there and looking for something to do either Friday before the game or Saturday between games, because I'm planning on Marquette playing two games. I don't know about you.
Oh, 100%. What's the weather in Dallas right now? Like, what should people be packing?
See, the thing is, for you guys, like, 40 degrees is like shorts and t-shirts, right?
Right. Well, basically, yes.
But, yeah. Today was in the 60s and windy. It looks like it's going to be... feel like a meteorologist right now. It's going to get up in the 70s this week. High 70s, low 80s by Sunday.
Holy hell, that's paradise.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, you guys will be shorts and bathing suits, man. it's looking like a pretty nice week, actually, weather-wise. So, but again, check with your local meteorologist to be sure. I just opened up my weather app as you were talking to me. But
yeah, you should go down to Dallas and go to the games. We should get... let's pack that arena with Marquette fans.
Yeah, because I mean, we're going to be outnumbered for sure, because Duke, you know, is going to bring a ton of fans. Whoever wins this Houston A&M game is going to have a lot of fans. I really don't know what to expect from NC State, but yes, hopefully we have as much blue and gold as we possibly can. I mean, we have a nice little Dallas-Fort Worth alumni group. There's not a ton of us here, but I know we have alums, like, throughout Texas that I've heard a few of them. They're driving up from like Austin, Houston, San Antonio. But yes, as many of you from the lovely states of Wisconsin and Illinois that could get down here and all over the country, please get down here, support us, get your tickets. Let's make that arena gold. I would say blue and gold, but there's already going to be blue there with Duke. Let's make it gold.
Yeah, just gold.
Lots of blue and gold.
Yeah, bring your finest gold t-shirts.
Absolutely, yeah. So I don't know exactly what kind of events are going to be going on as far as the alumni, but I would check the good news is I don't have to plan any of them. That's what I'm excited about.
Goodness.
I'll just let the university do it.
Right.
But yeah, I know the school is planning on quite a few events during the week. Certainly there will be pregame and postgame festivities. I don't know where. Check Marquette's website. If you go just marquette.edu and check the alumni page, I'm sure there will be things posted there. I'm sure they'll send out email blasts trying to get people to go to places. I know President Lovell will do a run. He always, I know he does like a run for events. There will be one of those. I know there may be a mass on Good Friday and Easter Sunday. So I don't know where those will be, but yeah, just keep an eye on Marquette's website. I'm sure they'll blast it out. And I look forward to interacting with all of you who come down here at whatever Marquette events we have. But I plan on partaking in as many as I can, because I am very, very excited for this.
Yeah, and just everyone you see, like every person that's wearing Marquette gear, just walk up and be like, "Hey, are you from Scrambled Eggs?" And eventually, eventually you'll run into Joe.
No, the thing is, funny thing, I guess it's because of my Twitter avatar. I feel like people actually do recognize me. A few people did come up to Hawaii and say they knew me or recognize me. So, yeah, I guess people know my face because of my Twitter avatar. So
I like it.
Say hello.
Yeah. Say hi to Joe. Tell him what a good job he's doing putting up with me.
Don't do that. Just let's just have a beer and watch Marquette win two games. How about that?
Oh, all the games. Well, and the schedule's going to, you know, it's going to be interesting, right? Because I'm going to be, again, family vacation. My family and another family are going out to San Diego for this weekend. It's just when spring break is for kids and stuff like that. So I will, if we win Friday, which, again, God willing and the crick don't rise, shall happen. We'll carve out time to do some sort of pod before the Sunday
game.
Yeah,
yeah, we may have to record it differently if you don't have your recording gear with you, but we'll figure it out. We'll like do it over Zoom or something, figure it out. And I may try to get a special guest on the pod between now and then. TBD on that. I'll let you know if the special guest works out. But if I can get a special podcast out to you before Friday, I will. But maybe I will, maybe I won't. But I hope to be doing some celebratory podcasts next weekend because love this team, love what they're doing. And to echo what Shaka said after the game, I just don't want the season to be over.
Oh,
I want to see him keep
under
playing.
Under no circumstances. So, under no circumstances. Win at all costs.
Four more games. I think we've talked enough, Phil. What do you think?
Oh, I could talk about this team for like hours, but probably for the sake of getting something people can listen to, we should probably be done.
All right. As always, folks, hit us up on X Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF23 at Crack Sidewalk is the team handle. Go to cracksidewalks.com. We post the podcast there. You can leave comments on cracksidewalks.com. And also remember to rate, review, and subscribe Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I hope to see you all in Dallas. Be loud, wear gold, go Marquette. Phil, final thoughts?
No, just I'm loving the ride, man. Let's keep riding this ride.
Go Marquette. Let's get to the Final Four. Seashells and balloons, everybody.